Jesus. Go ahead. Don't. I want y'all to come up here. I want this on tape. Let's put it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to do what the Lord told me to do this morning. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak to any kind of teeth and gum issues, sore gums, mouth sores, decay. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Missing teeth. Any kind of disorder of the mouth and the gums, in the name of Jesus, I speak correction by the Holy Ghost right now in the name of Jesus. The Lord said if I'd speak it out, that He'd back me up. So I command these issues to correct themselves. Thank you, Lord, for perfect, whole, sound teeth and gums. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Exactly any bone in the jaws, anything that needs to be corrected in the jaw bones, anything like that, that goes to the sinuses, anything in the sinuses that needs to be corrected, that the Holy Spirit would right now go in and correct that. We bind the devil. We tell him he's been there long enough. He goes right now, today, this moment, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you made us whole. You took it on your back. It's already done. We just have to place our order this morning, and we call it forth in the name of Jesus. We call those things that be not as though they were today, and thank you for the manifestation. And we thank you for it. A dentist, if he looked in our mouths, he'd say, that's the best set of teeth and gums I've ever seen in my life.
Thank you, Jesus.
I speak clear sinuses. No more of this drip, drip, drip. No more of any problems of any kind.
Thank you, Lord.
Command it to go.
Thank you.
I speak renewed. Thank breathing, you. Renewed. Sleeping, renewed. Good sleep. Good sleep. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He wants us to partake of what we have been, what He paid for us to already have. Yeah. That goes along with the teaching this morning. The Lord said, I set you up. This is a setup. This is how we take care of our medical problems or dental problems or any kind of problems. This is how we take care of it. The title of this morning is called Traditional Thinking. This is 10:11:20, Sunday morning. Traditional thinking. I have a song, I couldn't find it, but it goes, traditional thinking, it's really stinking. You know what it does? It keeps you from everything God has for you. There's a difference between traditionally taught and Holy Ghost taught. I do not, for many years I felt really bad because the Lord pulled us out of the church system and began to train us, and I didn't understand. I thought, what's wrong with us? Everybody thinks we're just a joke, blah, blah, blah. Well, He wanted us Holy Ghost taught, not traditionally taught. I don't know about you, but everybody I know of that's passed away, it wasn't in good terms, and they were in the traditional church their whole life. Do you see any power there at all? No. Nothing but the system that drains, the system that kills, steals, and destroys. That's all I saw. That's all I've observed. And I said, Lord, I don't want to go that way. I know your word says something different. I don't want to go that way. Okay, traditional thinking. In the New Testament, we have been made free from the law of sin and death. This is Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What's the law of sin and death? That's Satan's domain. That's where he took up residence here. When man fell, he sinned. Therefore, he became subject to the God of this world and its laws. And he's pretty well taken over everything. I mean, we're calling it in and we're making progress. We're calling those things to be not as though they were. But we don't have to wait for the 1,000-year millennial reign to walk in the kingdom. Jesus brought the kingdom. He brought the kingdom. That's what he taught his disciples, the kingdom. That's what they taught. That's why they were rejected of the world. That's what they taught. Okay, Hebrews 9. I'm going to be expecting to hear some good reports. Thank you, Lord. Then verily the first covenant, this is verse 1, had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. Y'all do know this wasn't God's best, right? He couldn't get them to walk by faith. He couldn't get them to believe him, even after all the miracles he did in Egypt and all the things he did in the wilderness and this Red Sea and all these things. He couldn't get them to believe him, even though they got fed with manna. He couldn't get them to believe it. They wanted something tangible. They were used to being bossed around and told what they could and could not do, so God gave them the law. These people, these Christians that glory in the law and try to spring us back under our Jewish roots, good Lord, I don't want that root. Our Jewish roots is Jesus, not these, what do you call them, ordinances. These things that look holy and good but are powerless to do anything to help us. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tabernacle of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, when he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. This was just to get them by. This was just something just to get them by. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way in the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. Lord, just quicken something to me when Jesus spoke to the lepers and told them to go show themselves to the priest. They still had to use their faith. Think about it. He told them to go do this as a sign that they were healed. But they still had to do it. They still had to walk by faith. But Christ being come on and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, this is to say not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now the key word there is dead works. All the fleshly things of this world are nothing but dead works. They're nothing but something to placate or to help you get by. The Israelites did not want to walk by faith. They didn't. And so, you know, they wouldn't change their mind. They would not embrace what God wanted to do. He wanted them to walk by faith. Okay, the kingdom of God that is coming, even now, come Lord Jesus, has been available for us to walk in since the day that you were born from above. It's available 24/7. One time, didn't the Lord tell you that the throne room never shuts down at 24/7? Okay. Jesus walked it out down here and showed us the example to follow in his footsteps regardless of what the world system does. Like I said, I know people that have gone to the world system for their health, and it's just been nothing but a long line of lots of money, lots of suffering, lots of pain, and resulting in dying. Why would you want to depend on a system like that? Are there methods or anything else the world has to say? Because who is the one until Jesus comes that has really control of this world system, unless we take it in the name of Jesus? Who is the one that's holding the reins unless we're reigning? The devil. The law was so difficult that those who obeyed could not keep it fully. This is the way of the law, and it's never enough. It's like a leech. You ever noticed? I noticed about health care over the years. First it was your blood pressure is 120 over 80. And then, no, it has to be lower. No, we got to have a statin drug now. No, we have to do this. No, we have to do that. And then the progression, every time you go in, it's something new. I used to go get my teeth cleaned, but it got to where they were fitting around all over my neck and everywhere to see if I had tumors. And oh, I just thought, enough! Enough! What's it about? Control. Controlling everything you think. I mean, every thought that comes into your head, they have controlled it. That's what Satan's trying to do. He don't want you getting a hold of the Word, getting free. No, no. He's come to steal, kill, destroy. Keep you captive if he can. Okay. The world system is that way. It's the law, sin, and death. Just think about all the fees, the taxes, etc. They put upon us. They even want to tax people now for their rainwater when it rains at their house, taxing them for it. Jesus said to the religious leaders of his day that all they did was place burdens on people. Things have not changed. Religious tradition, no thinking, has done that to the church. He said, you bar the way for them to go in. You won't go in yourself, and you bar the way from them going in, for them to be free. Do we see that today? Absolutely we do. Renewing the mind to God's Word helps us to come out of the traditional thinking of the law of sin and death and to embrace the new way of living. That's kingdom living. I hope you can receive this new wine today. This is revelation the Lord gave to me a couple of days ago, and I'm going to do my best to relay it to you. That's why I'm reading this, because the Lord starts taking me kind of into a new area. All right. I want you to listen to me very carefully. Satan's very subtle. And he likes to keep you where he's had you. He didn't want you coming out of it. That's why the heavy attack. Well, that's because we're sitting third heaven authority and we are speaking to things and we're getting flack for it. But he wants to trap you as a child, trap you. And then you never come out of that way of thinking and you never reach your full potential in God and you never know the true way and how to walk because you've got all this traditional stuff slapping you in the face, whether it be through your education, going to church. It's all infiltrated. Believe it or not, I'm not coming against any minister, but I'm telling you, they've all been infiltrated. We've all seen the lies of certain things that the Lord's shown us. We all know there are areas. Some are, they're just They don't know any better. But somewhere down the line, somebody knew better and distorted the truth, and it got passed down as traditions of men that the church has taught. You call the shots concerning your body. It comes under your jurisdiction, not the other way around. You're not a victim. That's why the Lord had me do what I did. You can grab a hold of what He says is yours. It doesn't have jurisdiction over you. The world system and the religious system has programmed you to live after the flesh. And every time that you get hit with something, automatically you see to the flesh. Oh, you know, they got this new cure out there. Oh, you know, they got this new diet system. No, you know, they got this new exercise equipment. You know, they've got this new this. You may not think that really applies, but it absolutely does. It has everything to do with keeping you from thinking the way the kingdom people think. Okay. The kingdom of God lives after the Spirit. Now, our next teaching is going to be about learning to walk in the supernatural, but I could have titled this the same way, Learning to Walk in the Supernatural. It may not be what you think. Well, I thought it was going to church, having three prophecies, and, you know, praying for the sick. Well, it could be, but I think it goes much deeper than that. To me, that's just surface. That's just getting our needs met. It doesn't do anything to help the world or to go out from your place and be an overcomer and a winner. It's good anytime. Yeah, I'll take it anytime, but I don't think it's just that. This is all of Satan's propaganda. See, what we've trained to be. And we're all affected. I'd be willing to say even children in Christian schools are also been trained that way, because they tend to follow, I don't know why, they tend to always follow the world. Just look at the church. Just think about Halloween. Well, the schools have their carnivals, so the church have their carnivals. The world has their music and their concerts, so does the Christians. They change the words, but it's the same music. You understand? So you could say, for the most part, for the church, the thinking is that traditional thinking. Well, this is the way we've always done it. This is the way we've always thought. How's that working out for you? Not good. That's when the way for all my ancestors. Not good, not good, not good. I don't want to go the way of my ancestors. I'm sorry. There's not been any of them that's reached their full potential. They haven't even had enough strength to make it to 80 years. And that was a curse. I don't want that. I don't want that. We're going to have to change some thinking, though. That kind of, it's rooted in fear, which, of course, is Satan's modus operandi. Fear. Keep you in fear. Fearful to break away from the system. Not trust God. Isn't that what happened with the Israelites? They were afraid to break away from what they had been in, because that's all they knew, because they didn't trust God, even though He proved it over and over and over 10 times. They refused to enter His rest. They refused to believe Him. So Hebrews says. Acts 7:39 says, this was Stephen, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again to Egypt. I had a word of prophecy one time when our former pastors were here, and it was on a Sunday morning. I was on the platform. I was on the praise and worship team. And the prophecy said, why are you looking back there? There's nothing there. The horse and the rider were thrown into the sea. There's nothing there. Quit looking back to there. It's what Peter said, the dog returns to his vomit, and the pig that's washed to the wallow. Yeah. It's a trick. Then you begin to reason. Reasoning sounds good, doesn't it? Except the fact is, who's the reasoner? Who makes you doubt God? Hath God said? Yeah. Okay. To whom our fathers would not obey. Our fathers would not obey. They could have obeyed. Okay. Then you begin to reason, well, I'm having these symptoms because I said that. I did that. Oh, I didn't obey the Lord. Acting on symptoms is not acting on God's word. Well, the devil would reason that you're being neglectful. Ever heard that? Because you don't take care of it the way traditionally you're taught to take care of it, whatever it may be. Here comes the guilt. Or here comes, well, you got to do something. Really? Do you? I'm just telling you, this is the way the devil works. This is the way he gets us off of our stand. Okay. Acting on symptoms is not acting on the Word of God. I had someone tell me one time what they believed faith was. Well, you got symptoms, you go to the doctor and you see about it. That's faith. And I looked at that person, I thought, what planet are you from? It ain't heaven. I'm telling you. It blew me back. I'm thinking, dumb as a stump. Had some insight and some spiritual things, but as far as the walk of faith, our very core, how we even got born again and filled with the Spirit, didn't have a clue. Guess they hadn't been hanging around me long enough, because when you're around me, it's going to come out. Don't like it, don't hang around me. I'm not going to apologize for it. If I have to hear your worldly crap, you're going to hear my faith crap, okay? Call it what you want. It oozes out. I can't help it. Just like trying to red pill somebody, get that stupid off of them. You know what I'm saying? It's like... I said, Lord, you got the stupid off of me. I want to get the stupid off of you. But I don't want to know anything. Okay, dust off my feet. You know, that's what you have to do. Most don't want to hear it. Did I want to hear it? Not really. But I was willing to hear it. Okay. This is the program of the God of this world system. Don't feel bad if you locate yourself in this. We can't all do that. And probably pretty recently. It takes a while to know your enemy and all of his tactics. He doesn't play fair. This is what Jesus said about this issue. We're going to go back to two sets of scriptures. I even read it this morning on the broadcast. And they're just as true today as they were the many other days that I've read it to you. Matthew 15. Now John went before Jesus and he said, the kingdom of God is nigh you. It's at hand. In other words, it's at your disposal. What has never been here before is now here. It was good news. All right, let's start with verse 11. Not that which goes into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth is defileth a man. If you're having some issues concerning food and things you eat, and when you eat a certain thing, you start having symptoms, The last thing in the world that you should do is change what you're eating. Now listen to me. I know this. I'm seasoned veteran in this. Let me tell you this. Especially one that was all had strongholds concerning nutrition, exercise regimens, what's good for you, what isn't good for you, and finding out that it was not God's way. Yeah, reading labels. You name it. All of it. It's all part of the system. When you eat such and such and you have an attack, what are you supposed to be doing? The weapon of your warfare is not carnal. You're not going to beat the devil with diets, changing your diets, exercise regimens, or anything else. The only way when you're under spiritual attack is you're going to have to use spiritual weapons. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. See, we've been geared. We've been brought up to believe. Well, you know, I can't eat that. That causes that. And, you know, they say, yeah, you better be careful about what they say. I don't know who they say is, but, you know, there's a bunch of them out there. They say this and they say that. But that's not how we operate in the kingdom of God. Because in the kingdom of God, as far as we're concerned, by stripes we're already healed. And what is coming against us is as a result of war and a good warfare. Attacks of the devil to convince you. Does it feel real? Oh, yes, it does. It feels like, well, it feels like it's right, but it's not. Okay, let's read. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth a man. So it's not what you're eating. I heard someone, I was watching Sid Roth one day, or I was looking through his archives, and there was a woman on there that had a book. And the book said, it's not what you're eating, it's what's eating you. And I thought, boy, she's got it. She knows. She knows. She knows the truth. It's what you're thinking about what you're eating. It's not what you're eating. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Well, yeah. Yeah, people think you're nuts to talk this way. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. That's a prayer of mine. What's he talking about? He's talking about strongholds. Because this is what keeps you from God and everything he has for you. This is what keeps you ensnared to the devil. It's not some food. It's the devil. It's strongholds of the mind. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Like I said, our ancestors have followed all of these things. Where did they fall? Where did they end up? In the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? And I'll take that a step further. The medical system has been sabotaged. It's part of the God of this world. They've used vaccines and pharmaceuticals to make us sick, keep us sick, and to kill us. Does that sound like the devil's MO? Kill, steal, destroy. That doesn't mean all doctors and nurses are evil. It means they're blind. There's doctors waking up. Lots of doctors are waking up to the very fact. I feel sorry for those that are pediatricians that have probably ruined the lives of many children, killed many children because of their pushing vaccinations, but they didn't know. This is the God of this world system, people. There's not anything that he does that's going to benefit you in any way. So quit thinking, well, you want to receive by faith or not? That traditional thinking will keep you from it. Do you not yet understand that whatever enters in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught. The God made the body to take it in. It hits that stomach acid. It purifies it. Then it's distributed out through the pipes and into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart and defile the man. It's that mouth of yours, that thinking in that mouth. That's what's got you in trouble. That's what's got us all in trouble. And the devil has made you think, oh, it's that what you ate. Because they don't want you to know the truth. Because if you get a hold of the truth and you know your words work and you start speaking your words to change and affect things, he's toast. He can no longer manipulate and control and steal and kill from you anymore and destroy. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. The heart, there's your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. And they defile the man. It's your thinking process. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you think it's going to hurt you, it will. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Oh, yeah, baby. It nearly destroyed the earth at one time. Every person's thoughts were evil continually. What's evil? Does it mean it was all sexual sin? No, it means that it was all anti-God. Proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. See, these people thought by keeping the law, and they'd added a bunch of laws to what Moses brought down off of the mount. And so they said you're defiled if you didn't wash your hands before you did something, or, you know, letter of the law, regimens, diets. All right, now, Mark 7. Same thing, worded a little differently, but same thing. Mark 7, 14. When he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man. Paul got a hold of this. The viper was considered a very deadly, if you got bit within 30 seconds, you die. Why didn't Paul die? For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus made him free from the law of sin and death. Same thing here. There's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. So he's saying it's not what you're eating, it's what you're thinking. And then speaking. Thinking. He said, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. When he was entered into the house, from the people, his disciples asked him concerning this parable. And he said unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? That's why Jesus could walk through the people when they were trying to throw him down the hill and not be harmed. When it came time for him to die, he did it. He laid his life down by faith, it says. He did it by faith. He could not be touched because he knew who he was. He knew he walked by the kingdom way. Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught. In other words, it doesn't enter your mind. This is the heart right here is talking about where you manufacture. This is where you believe, and this is where you produce. Okay, goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. In other words, the system is made to purge. what you eat. We've been wonderfully and fearfully made. This body is amazing. In fact, with all the tactics that they've tried all the many years they've been doing it, it's so amazing that they have failed more than they have won. They're still trying to find different ways, multiple ways, to take us out. And I'm thinking, God just made them to a place that it's just nearly impossible to take them out. Unless we can get their believing wrong and their speaking wrong. Get them in agreement with us. And he said, that which cometh out of a man, of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, produce evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil come from within and defile the man. It is your mind, not actually in your body. Remember when Brother Copeland made this statement about pain, that it's really a thought. Now, it feels like it's different, but he says it's a thought. Well, all those old symptoms are a thought. Why do you think the Lord told us, don't take a thought saying? Oh! Feel like a hee-haw. Well, it hurts when I touch, when I do this. He said, well, quit doing that. Well, it hurts when I say that. That would be more accurate. Ever been around somebody with an organ recital? Ever get tired of it? All right, Isaiah 55. Verse 7. Well, let's read 6, because really it's the answer. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know why the world has nearly gotten to the place it got to? Wicked men's thoughts. Thoughts have nearly destroyed earth again. It did in Noah's day, except for 8 people and a boatload of animals. That's why we need to be thinking about what we're thinking about. We need to guard our thoughts, for out of it issue the... I forget the rest of that scripture. Anyway, the production center of your life, it all has to do with your thoughts. Well, this is the way I've always done it or handled it, but you just don't know what it feels like. Yes, I do. We've all been there, but if we want to overcome in this area, we have to change our tactics. You're not going to fight the devil with flesh and blood. You will not win. The way of the law seems righteous, but it is actually bondage. It's actually death, it says. Okay, we're going to look at Galatians 2 for a minute. I'm just going to read the whole chapter. It's such a good chapter. Verse 1 says, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. See, they were always trying to bring the Christians back under the law. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. People always seem to want to get back to, you need to put your hand to it. You need to do something. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. We're in spirit and in power, not in works of the flesh. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. I feel the same way, Paul. I don't care who you are, you spiritual leaders, if you try to put some burden on somebody to have to do something just fleshly, shame on you. It says, but of those who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. So it means there's somebody of standing in the church. God accepteth no man's person. He's not impressed by men's credentials. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. In other words, all your book learning, all your years of ministry and everything you've done, you're not adding anything to me. He's been Holy Ghost taught. Holy Ghost taught. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectively in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. You know, I talked about having credentials. They wouldn't be accepted unless they had some credentials. But they saw the power, and they gave them the right hand of fellowship instead of the left hand, left foot of whatever. That we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. See, Peter was a Jew. He was traditionally taught. And he was hanging out with the Pharisee bunch. He's trying, see, his ministry was called was to them. But they got rubbed off on him. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews? Do the Jews. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. In other words, they were speaking out of both sides of the mouth. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Get that. Our life in the flesh is now to be lived by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Not in the flesh. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And if the law worked, why would Christ have had to come? If the blood of bulls and goats could have done it. then he wouldn't have had to do what he did. He wouldn't have had to send his only son and him have to suffer the horrible death he suffered. When that body starts acting up, then it's time for you to take authority and to say to your body what you desire. And you may have to do it more than once because it's been getting by with murder. Time to stop letting your body or symptoms, really your thoughts, dominate you concerning this matter. This is our method of warfare. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. Y'all have it memorized by now. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity the thought into obedience to Christ. Instead of it bringing you into obedience, the thought bringing you into obedience, you bring the thought into obedience. Oh no. The Lord didn't say, change your diet, go take this prescription, on and on we go in our minds. He said to speak to it, Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. You shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which you say come to pass. You'll have whatsoever you say. If we will stop being double-minded, eventually that stronghold will come down. Jeremiah 23, 29 says, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? That's timely today because we've heard Q say many times, the hammer, it's time to drop the hammer. And we've been hearing that again. Well, it's time to drop the hammer. It'll break in pieces. What does a fire do? Consume. This is Psalms 18:37. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. What does consume mean? To end, to cease, be finished, perish. When you act on the word consistently, you will eventually consume what has been trying to consume you. Sound like a plan? All right.